From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio this morning. I'm going to talk to Todd Wade, former Ole Miss offensive lineman, here in a little bit on the show about the players-only meeting from Friday night. You can read some things on that at rebelgrove.com. I think that's still pinned at the top of the message board, as well as all of our content from after the game. Arkansas 38, Ole Miss 37, Saturday morning at Vaughn Hemingway Stadium. Ole Miss now travels to Kentucky, where it is an underdog to the Wildcats that knocked off Tennessee by a couple points, but not enough points on Saturday as well. Neil's 10 thoughts up, some coaching search things, some site coverage things, a screenshot with comments from a certain quarterback's father, and more there at rebelgrove.com. So Todd Wade here in a little bit on the Oxford Exxon Podcast, a podcast that is brought to you by the Oxford Exxon every single day for the last few years. We appreciate them. Highway 6 West in Oxford. Get the ribs, get the lunch specials, get your catering. Still a couple games left this year to be able to cater to the Grove. Louisiana Lafayette, Texas A&M coming to town in a few weeks. So use them for that. You can get a couple racks of ribs. You can get a couple pounds of pulled pork. You get quart size sides there also at the Oxford Exxon. And on the weekends, 49-cent wings at the Oxford Crystal next door. So Highway 6 West in Oxford. Again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900, 662-257-1900. You call that number. You ask for Corey Clark. You tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. It's really that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. What happens is Corey gets back to you within 15 minutes with a quote. It's a great quote. It's right to the bottom line. And then it's up to you. It really is. You can take your quote, and you can chop it around, or you can take our word for it. And not only that, you can take the word of so many other podcast listeners. We say this all the time because it's true. From Cape Girardeau to Biloxi, from Atlanta to Dallas, and all points in between, people who have listened to this podcast and who have purchased from Clark Ford in Amory, everyone loves what they get. You get a great product. You get great product, great service after the sale. It's a great car buying experience. It takes the hassle out of the car buying experience. So 662-257-1900, and then at the end of your deal, tell Corey, hey, I heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any of our family of podcasts, and it's $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford and Amory.
A couple different things we'll open up with coaching search-wise. People I've said on Twitter over the weekend, but got it rattled a little bit here. Chris Mortensen reporting that vascular surgeons are attempting to save the leg of Chicago Bears tight end Zach Miller, who dislocated his knee yesterday.
Oh, my God.
So, wow. Anyway, just kind of, I was reading through Twitter a second ago and kind of shook me a little bit.
That was a horrific injury.
He's been around a long time. Been a very productive tight end for years.
He played at Virginia?
I don't know where Zach Miller's from. Who you think is that? From what are you thinking about?
I don't know. I'm just trying to. I'm trying to place how long I've known who he was, and for some reason, Virginia sticks out in my mind. But I could be so wrong. I guess you're about to tell me.
Yeah, I'll tell you in a second.
We have time. I'm not claiming to be correct here. That's just what rings a bell for some reason, and I have no idea why.
His education is from the University of Nebraska, Omaha.
Almost Virginia.
I mean, you know.
In the United States.
I mean, Tennessee East, Nebraska, it's getting that direction.
Well, I mean, thoughts and prayers. I mean, that's awful. Goodness
Dang.
Gracious.
Yeah, anyway. So,
you know, it's like when Gordon Hayward suffered that injury. You watch it and you go, that's scary.
Yeah, not athletic scary, life scary.
Yeah, of course. And you see that injury in New Orleans yesterday. And by the way, TV people, stop with the slow-mo replays.
I don't get the producer that does that.
The guy has a family. I mean, there's somebody out there who loves him beyond football. Can we move on?
Best I recall, whatever network did a pretty good job with the Gordon Hayward thing.
It was TNT, and they did. They realized right away it was bad. Kevin Harlan was on the call, and he said, Gordon Hayward just broke his leg. Gordon Hayward broke his leg, and they did not show it again.
Yeah.
I was watching it. I saw it. I said, I never want to see that again, and as God is my witness, I never will.
Yeah, you hadn't seen it again.
No, I don't want to see it again. I know what I know what happened, and I hope he's going to be okay. It sounds like his surgery went well. It sounds like his injury apparently was not as severe as Zach Miller's. I don't know what happened with Miller, the details of the injury, but very frightening.
Yeah. Not sure where he is. I don't know. I guess he could be still be in New Orleans. I don't know, though.
I would think he's still in New Orleans.
Yeah. So, no good segue out of that, but see where I pissed off Drew Locke's mother, girlfriend, wife, sister, or somebody last night?
No.
Maybe just Drew. Maybe Drew Locke's burner account. Maybe it's like Kevin Durant and got an account.
What did you do?
So, during the sometime Saturday night, as Missouri was polishing off its blowout of UConn, and I was watching Mississippi State beat A&M, I tweeted, let's see, what did I say? I thought it was fairly tame. I said, I forgot I picked MSU this week, which I did. Also, Mizzou was the lock of the year. UConn is absolutely awful in pass defense. Drew Locke carves up awful. That was my tweet. You wouldn't think that would be overly antagonistic. In a way, it's a compliment.
In a way, it's a compliment.
He carves up awful. I didn't say he didn't carve up great. No, he doesn't, but didn't say that.
It's implied.
So, Ashley, 1234688 something. So,
someone who really loves numbers.
Well, all caps, by the way, the entire tweet. Ooh. Well, I completely disagree because obviously he's better than you!
She makes a point.
That's what Gabe said last night. It is very valid. He is a better quarterback than me.
He is a better quarterback than one Anthony Chase Parham.
I would not have done as well against UConn last
no,
night.
No, UConn would have beaten Missouri if Chase Parham had been the quarterback at Missouri. So, Ashley and all the numbers, I agree so far.
Well, she said no. She said she completely disagrees. So that would be her disagreeing that he carves up awful, would it not?
God. Yeah, I guess so.
We would.
Well, it's in all caps, so she's really angry. So you got to be careful with words when you're super angry. The valid point to me is that he's better than
you. Yeah, man, as Rob Cassidy, our rivals friend last night says, she's right though. He is better than you. Yes, that is.
It's a fair point.
But when I click on Ashley 123488's name, she has 3 followers. God help them. And she has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. She has 13 tweets all time, and everyone are defending Drew Locke. All 13.
Well, she's doing the Lord's work. I mean, haters like you.
Somewhere the Ashley version of Raph Webb's just nodding going, he's a nice guy. It's a good dude. Like 11, she must have just gotten on Twitter and searched the name yesterday because
you think
it's a good possibility. because right before she tweeted back at me, she tweeted at a guy who said Drew Locke is a good quarterback, but he's a huge douche. Was the tweet, which that's kind of personal. I mean,
she tweeted that at someone.
No, someone tweeted that just in general. She responded and said, "Do you know him as a person?" ? All caps. Exactly. Then don't say that. She's angry.
She is. Are we guessing that Ashley and all the numbers knows Drew Locke personally? I'm going to guess not.
I'm going to assume just Missouri super fan.
Probably somewhat enamored with Mr. Locke.
Might be just from his high school or something.
Something. Or it's a younger girl who.
Oh, that's a good point.
Really has a crush on the Missouri quarterback.
Yeah. I complimented the kid. I compliment him every week when I say he beats up bad defenses.
Well, he does beat up bad defenses to the point that there's talk about him in the NFL first round.
He plays on a really bad team.
He's going to go to the Senior Bowl.
Is he?
I think.
Yeah.
He's a senior, right?
I don't have a clue. Big kid, like 6'4".
I've seen stuff that the NFL likes him.
So this comes a day after I tweeted during the Arkansas game that Dan Enos should be fired in the locker room, Arkansas's offensive coordinator. He was dreadful on Saturday, by the way. And some Saturday down south.
You want me to make you feel bad?
Some Saturday down south writer or actual content stealer is probably more apt than writer.
Yes.
Took offense to that and was really upset by my comments. And I know his father passed away the week before. I did not know that. And number two, that did not change the play calling from the day.
It didn't. He was leaving Vaught Hemingway to go to his father's funeral.
Yeah, it did make me feel bad when I found out.
Good.
It did.
I know. I know this will shock
but
anyone that listens to the podcast.
But on like third and three or whatever it was when he wanted Cole Kelly to do the little dribble of the football thing, what were
no,
we doing?
No, it wasn't third and three. It was fourth and one.
Oh, it was. Yeah, it was fourth and one. What was he doing?
I asked Bielema about it after the game.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just asking.
Did I ask him? No, I asked Cole Kelly about it.
Okay.
Because Cole Kelly was like, yeah, it's a play we practice all the time. We thought it was going to work.
What was the objective?
It was a trick.
To throw it to the dude?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Ole Miss played a gap differently than they anticipated.
Yeah.
Blew it up.
And on trick play, when a dude's not where he's supposed to be, that's a problem.
I just didn't understand. It's the column you will never read because it didn't turn out to be apropos. My column after that play was Brett Bielema just fired himself. And gave Ole Miss a gift. It's the first gift Ole Miss has gotten in a while. Merry Christmas.
That'd be a good coffee table book. Columns I never published.
Because the game changed?
Yeah. Outcomes and columns that you've written over the years that never made it because of things.
It would be.
It'd be a really good coffee table book.
I wonder how many columns that never will see the light of day because it turned out not to be appropriate.
Oh.
From last night's World Series.
Yeah.
From Game 7 last year.
What was like what the Royals beat writer that went to L.A., Andy McCullough.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was so good. You know, he was talking about when the Royals were in the middle of all those late nights and World Series games and different things of not just the things he was erasing, but the number of he had written at the same time. He'd have like eight stories being written at the same time and just pick the one at the end that sort of fit best and moved on from there. Because he was the guy whose computer crashed. In the last inning of the decisive game of the World Series.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
You'd throw up.
You would literally get sick. I've told this story before. This was back when newspapers were still the deal. I was covering Florida-Auburn. I'll tell you when it was. It was 2001, maybe? Ole Miss had beaten Alabama earlier in the day.
It was 0-1. Joe Gunn caught a swing pass and went in the end zone.
That game. I watched part of that game.
You were sick.
In a hotel room in Auburn. I had basically the flu, and I was so sick. And I was NyQuil sleeping. I told Charles Goldberg, please, man, because Auburn didn't play till like 8 o'clock. Make sure I'm up 4:30 so I can get to the game. And I remember watching the first part of the Ole Miss game. I slept for a long time. I woke up. It was like middle of the fourth quarter. I saw Ole Miss win the game. Campbell had just been born. Laura and Campbell had actually come up to Oxford to see my parents. And I knew my dad had gone to the game. And so I remember talking to him briefly about the Ole Miss game and stuff. And then I got to Jordan Hare, pumped full of medicine, and then I watched that Auburn plays Florida, and the game is what you, as a writer, your worst nightmare for a late night game like that. It's close. It's seesaw. Fans, it's awesome. This is great theater. And you can relate to this. Media, it's, oh, my God. Someone take a 2-touchdown lead, please, now. Please. I've got an Auburn win, a Florida win on the little split screen thing. Nick, you know, you minimize, you have other stuff.
You write as many paragraphs as you can write that will fit both stories.
And Auburn ends up beating top-ranked Florida on a field goal at the buzzer. And by that point, I'm so sick that I literally have mucus in my eyes. It was awful. All I remember saying to the editors is, please make sure I sent the right one. Please make sure you run the right one.
Can you?
And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, because I've got a really good Auburn lost game story. Please make sure you write you run the right one. Because I wrote, filed, then go down to interviews and stuff, and then come back up and you try to add. It was the single worst. I don't even remember what I wrote. I just remember literally the kick was going to decide the game, and you think, I was so out of it. It had to be 12:30 at night. Anyway,
I mean, it was a ranked team version of in a night game of the Ole Miss Arkansas game. In a way,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Got a drive at the end, a kick. I mean, it's the whole deal.
Yeah, when it's the 11 o'clock game, you don't even think about it.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. I got time. But when it's the 8:15 ESPN game, I know fans love that, and I understand it. Media hate it for two reasons. One, you're in the press box till 3 a.m, but the bigger reason is the people that are on deadline, they are living on the deadline. I've had editors call me in the fourth quarter of games saying, where's your story? I'm like, the game's not over. What the hell do you want me to do? And the worst is when you do get a blowout, and so you file your game story like 6 minutes left in the game, and you're like, hey, listen, you son of a bitch. Those question marks on the score – because you're like, you know, whatever, as Auburn defeated number 12, Tennessee, comma, 41 to ? You better fill in those question marks. And if Auburn scores again, you better up the 41 to whatever the hell it is. You got me?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be down on the field and my cell phone's not going to work. So fix that. Don't be lazy, you son of a.
Yeah. So we're going to jump in with Todd in about 10 minutes. The pool for schools looking for coaches gained a bigger fish yesterday. Jim McElwain out at the University of Florida.
Have you ever seen a crazier story, Chase?
What do you mean?
That's a crazy story.
Well, that's where I was going with this because, look, he had one crazy freaking week. He potentially at least exaggerated death threats, it appears. From the optics of what Florida says back, that's what it looks like to me.
I think he made them up.
Well, yeah, I was just that's a harder line than exaggerated. I don't know.
Yeah.
But either way, something was not kosher there.
Well, if someone threatens one of your players, you have to report that. You're liable. And if someone threatens your daughter, you're going to the police, Chase. I know you.
Not when your boss comes up to you and goes, hey, it's my player too. What happened? And you offer no further details.
It's over at that moment. And I heard Andy Staples yesterday. Carson had a game in Tupelo. We were driving back, and I was actually listening to XM84. And it was Rick Neuheisel and some dude, and they were interviewing Staples. And Staples said it was over Monday.
So he's had a weird week. Had a bad week. Laughing coming off the field after getting beat. Whatever it was yesterday, yeah. Not much.
Because you had a bad week.
You had a bad week.
Yeah.
But what happened? Why beyond that is he no longer employed today?
Okay, this is where fans – we got a couple minutes, right?
We have about 7 minutes.
Okay. Fans, media, everyone, people don't like the word fit. Because it's – what do you mean fit? Why would Florida not be a fit? But Colorado State would. Because different people are wired different ways. The LSU job is a different job than the Mississippi State job. I didn't say better or worse. Different. Alabama's a different gig than the Kentucky gig. You can be one whale of a coach at Kentucky. I mean, a phenomenal football coach, and the Alabama job swallows you whole. It doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make you a weak person. It just makes you a different person. It takes a certain kind of cat to be a coach at different places. Jim McElwain didn't fit at Florida. People say, well, he was at Alabama, but this is where Nick Saban does a really good job protecting his assistant coaches. Yes, it's one message, blah, 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 but Saban protects them. He puts his coaches in a cocoon.
They don't speak to the media.
Well, they don't go to social things. Fans don't get access to them. They get to, it's an NFL gig. They get to work their job. Jim McElwain's a good football coach. But he gets to Florida, and two things happened. It wasn't a great fit. There's an expectation there. You and I have talked about this before. Because Steve Spurrier had success, and because Urban Meyer had success, fans expect everyone to have success. They don't care that Ron Zook didn't have success, that Will Muschamp didn't have success, that Will Muschamp's had more success at South Carolina than he had at Florida. That doesn't matter to them. And you and I talk all the time, Chase, about perception being reality. Well, when the common perception of the fan is that this is a national championship program, well, Chase, that might as well be reality, except it's not reality.
You can, but it's not the easiest in the world by any stretch of the imagination.
Right. And so he got down there, and there's a lot of media there. Y'all think I'm critical? You think I'm negative? Man, you ain't seen nothing. They've got 10, 15 newspapers. They've got all the sites and stuff. All the bloggers, they're all there. There's radio, there's TV, and everybody's looking for something that's going to set his or her content apart.
And they got a coach who's the all shucks, off the cuff, just, but not the charisma of Spurrier where they embrace it and it's funny and Spurrier's winning SEC championships.
And Spurrier's in Gainesville now.
Yeah, it's true.
And so Spurrier says, hey, let me help you. Jim says, no, I've got it. That gets out. And Spurrier, according to multiple people, has been pushing for his son to get back in the Florida gig. There's all sorts of things going on down there, and I just think...
But even so, two East titles. Now, look, I get the perception and the optics of that program are awful.
Yes.
But he has one.
Yeah. I mean, well, his record's pretty good. And they'll hang those banners.
Yeah.
And yet, I just think it broke. I remember writing in 10 Thoughts, I think it was 3 weeks ago, that he wanted out. He wanted out. Jim McElwain wanted the Oregon job last year. They hired Willie Taggart.
He was happy leaving the field Saturday.
He knew it was over.
Yeah, it was a moment for him.
Well, this is where Jimmy Sexton will go, look, can they fire him with cause? Kind of, maybe. It's probably not worth the financial... I'm sure he'll get $4 or $5 million.
It sounds like compromise.
It's got compromise written all over it. We owe you 12. You're not getting 12. We could go to court and battle this and make
all our lives hell, frankly.
Yeah, and make it zero. But why don't we meet somewhere close to the middle? Do it over a few years. You go get a coaching job somewhere in another part of the country. We're going to move on.
Apparently, too, his contract has no offset in it. Takes another job. Still. Paid the 100%.
So maybe he can go take the Oregon State job at $2 million a year. Florida's going to pay him $1 million a year for 5 years, and everybody will move on with their lives. But he wanted out. It didn't work. It wasn't a good fit. And that's the lesson for everybody going forward, is that these things aren't – sometimes fit matters a ton.
There's also guys that just are not equipped for the SEC.
Yes.
This conference that, in some good ways and some bad ways, it's psycho.
Well, what makes this conference great also makes it crazy.
Yeah.
What makes this conference awesome also makes it incredibly frustrating. What makes this conference so passionate can really put pressure on your family.
Yeah.
There's good and bad, man. I mean, I feel like I'm singing a song here. I mean, but everything can't be wonderful. When the fans are so passionate about it, that's great. It also makes your life a living hell. Unless you're winning. And not everybody gets to win.
Well, in there, not just win, but win.
Well, they want you to win.
Playoff.
And he was stubborn about his offense. He had Will Grier. The Will Grier thing really derailed their program. Mm-hmm. The importance of landing a quarterback. It's hard.
He's going to Oregon State.
That's what I think. He's a good fit there. And watch him. The people who are close to him say, man, he's not even the same guy as he was at Alabama. So I hope for his sake he goes someplace where he gets to be himself again.
Talk with Todd Wade in a second. Before we do that, I'll tell you that Master Cuts Lawn and Landscape is a proud supporter of the podcast. Full-service lawn maintenance and landscape company serving Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding areas. No job too large or small for Master Cuts. Service include landscape design, installation, landscape lighting, irrigation installation, and turf installation. They need holiday lighting as we're getting close to the holiday season. They'll clean up the yard from all the leaves that are down or anything else you've got just as the temperatures do get colder. They also build different spaces outside. They do different structurally landscape stuff. So check them out, 662-607-7773 for a free quote, mastercutslawn.com. If you sign an annual contract, you mentioned the podcast, they'll cut your yard the first time for free.
The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with a personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person, all without having to press 10 buttons. There's no 5-minute wait. OUB gives its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. With Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out Live Oxford, bankoxford.com, or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. If I sound distracted, it's because I just looked up and read they're charged with conspiracy against the United States. Whew. Podcast also brought to you by Michael Oswalt. Crazy times. Michael is a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. Works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. He's by far the largest broker of land in our state. Look him up, gotland.com. You can read all of his testimonials, all that stuff there. But here's what you need to know. If you're a buyer, Michael Oswalt has the biggest land inventory in Mississippi. There's a reason for that. People like to list with Michael. If you're thinking about selling, if you're on the fence, if it's in your future, he will come to your home, tell you what he does, market your property. He will get it sold for you. Tom Smith Land and Homes in the midst of its fourth record-breaking year. The market's hot. Whether it's drone videos, whatever it takes, Michael will put his money where his mouth is and get your property sold. 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com.
Now, Todd Wade on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. Todd, it's been a little while. Thanks for giving us a few minutes this morning. Just kind of curious. Friday night, Bjork invited former players in to discuss, I guess, the program as a whole. From what I've heard about it, I've talked to a couple different guys that were in the room. Just kind of curious from your standpoint, what were kind of your impressions of the evening?
I thought the meeting went well. There was valuable input from a number of people. And yeah, you worry the difference in age and different people who played at different times. What's going to be said? Will they malign, correctly, or is it going to be kind of be out there and be a scrambled meeting somewhat? But I thought it went well. I thought the ideas for the characteristics of what we would want at Ole Miss as our coach were pretty consistent, and some good points were brought up.
What would you say the consistent ideas and characteristics were?
Well, from an operational standpoint, you look in what type of system would be put in. Seemed more of a stronger defense, ground game, traditional offensive defense, with also having someone that wants to be here, longevity, and that wasn't the problem with. Hugh Freeze, he clearly wanted to be here, so that's one thing. But also, can they recruit? Can they go to Edna Carr High School in New Orleans and pull out a 4-star recruit? If they can't, that was my point, they should be eliminated from the list.
Is Edna Carr just one you pulled out of the air, or is there a specific?
You know what? It takes, I think we'll take the right type of person with a lot of energy, but also be able to relate to everyone in different demographics and feel comfortable doing so and enjoy it. As you noticed, you know, over the years, your best recruiters are people who actually, once they are able to put on the recruiting hat, it's a different sport that they want to compete in, and it's fun to them. It's not just something that's just a terrible thing that starts at the end of the season or during the season, but it's something that they're good at, and it's a challenge to them. So it usually goes with age a little bit, but that doesn't mean you need to just find that young coach, that sexy hire that people think that's just going to turn everything over and get the program turned around. So age isn't so much of that, but if it was something that where energy was needed and or the age was there where that person wouldn't be here that long, that would be a concern. But like I said, there are a number of points that were brought up, and I was pretty relieved that it was fairly consistent from what I personally wanted.
Is longevity something that you feel is important just from a continuity standpoint, or is it because you think that, you know, because of everything going on, this is going to take a few years to get back to maybe it was a couple years ago?
Yeah, longevity, but I think there's questions on contracts. That's always going to be really tough with buyouts and things like that, because once agents get involved, it could be hard to get that person you want just because of that. So that's always a nice thought. Maybe you're finding that one coach as a coordinator or someone that does want to make $5 million a year or more. I do think Ole Miss is ready to pay up for that right person. And that was something that I got out of the meeting. It wasn't something that we're looking to find such a discount, but I think if you're in that process, and I know that's been a concern for Ross and even Pete Boone before, who made that comment that trying to find someone that is that right person at that right age, that you're not necessarily paying them less, but you're able to work the contract around not having such a big buyout and causing problems on the back end.
All right, you know a lot of people. You're a former player. You played in the NFL for a long time. Your opinion is respected. You know a lot of other people whose opinion is respected. I'm not going to ask you who's pushing for who, but I'm gonna hope that you'll answer this frankly. Are there some factions that are already pushing for different people? And if so, who are some of the people that are being pushed for?
I don't know. I hear things, but it's more of just friends of mine talking. It's nothing like that. Names were not mentioned at the meeting, and Ross did a good job of kind of moderating the event because it was an open forum, and then it was like, okay, talk now. And people started talking and raising their hands to speak and provide whatever information they could provide. But by not mentioning names and just yelling out Leach and things like this, you're able to discuss those qualifications and characteristics that we would want as a head coach. And not necessarily just people weren't saying, oh, we want a good guy and all this stuff. People want to win. Nick Saban isn't perceived as a nice guy, so I don't think that's what people are wanting. People want a Nick Saban. So we talked about characteristics, and it because of that, we didn't have to discuss names, which is good. Mr. Luke, Tom Luke was there. Tommy Luke was there to listen in. It was productive.
I was going to ask you about that, Todd. Was it awkward that they were in the room, or did you sense that it was awkward for them to be in the room, given, you know, Matt's status as the interim coach, and knowing that I'm sure Matt had hoped that this would result in a permanent gig.
Right, right. I think it'd be more tougher on them being there, and you're discussing the future of the program. But it was noted at the beginning of the meeting, Matt's done a wonderful job of holding the team together at this point. Many of things are out of his control. He was handed this mess and having to deal with it. So, and Ross, of course, said that Matt was in the pool of coaches. Nothing was decided yet, and I'm sure Ross isn't going to elaborate on who he's spoken with and courted in this process, or if it's even taken place yet. But because names weren't mentioned, like I said, it was, you're talking about saying things that could even be describing Matt. For instance, I'm sitting there talking about recruiting. Yes, Matt's a really good recruiter. He could walk in any high school and feel confident and get down there. Matt's from Gulfport. He's a Coast Rat, so he can do that. So you got that going. Whether the type of offense or defense gets installed and this. Yeah, it kept it somewhat vague, but you're able to talk about characteristics of what we wanted. Everybody had different ideas, but for the most part, they're pretty consistent.
We were talking about fits before we brought you on today, and how Jim McElwain, he won a lot of games at Florida, but was never really the right fit there. Nick Saban's a great fit at Alabama, Dabo Swinney at Clemson, Kirby Smart at Georgia. From a personality standpoint, from just the way they operate, you've played for good coaches and bad coaches. What do you think are the fit requirements at Ole Miss?
I think your guess is as good as mine with that, to be honest. For me personally, the old cliche, someone who wants to be here, you're paying somebody X amount of money per year. They live in Oxford. They're going to want to be here for the most part. There are bigger gigs out there. But for their temperament, it's really, to each their own. I think that, I want someone in here that wants to work, that understands how competitive it is in the SEC. I remember two or three years ago, heard a comment that Freeze was being applauded for being a family coach. Guys were getting to go home earlier and things like that. That, to me, was a little disturbing. That sounds great. It sounds comforting to a lot of people. But the life of coaching, it's why I really didn't get into it. You're moving a lot. You're hired and fired. But you're also at the facilities all day and night. And when you're not recruiting, you're there. And when you're operating, you're coaching, you don't go home after practice. You don't have much of a family life. So that is expected out of the next staff. And I'm not saying the previous staff, that is just what I heard at one point. And it didn't sit well with me, because if you're a coach in the SEC, you're not supposed to have much of a family life. And it sounds cruel, but that's just a fact, because that's the way it is in the NFL. It's the way it is in college football. And if you're every time that somebody's going home early or getting, if you feel like you've done all your work, I guess that's great. But I can promise you the people in Tuscaloosa are not doing that. So hopefully that is someone we're getting that is their life, winning, and they want to win here, and we'll do it at all costs.
Yeah, that's why if I'm Ole Miss, and I'm not tied to it the way other people are, but I look at it and say the longevity thing wouldn't matter to me. I would look at it and say, for if a guy comes to Ole Miss, if he's going to – like, it's an SEC gig. We were saying this about – I wrote this in 10 Thoughts this morning. It applies to a lot of schools in the SEC. In my opinion, pretty much every school in the SEC except Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and maybe Mississippi State, but maybe not because they pay really well too. It's a top 20 job because of the money and the exposure and the SEC network and all that stuff. If you're going to leave an Ole Miss to go to a, quote, better job, that means you're going to, like, Alabama, Ohio State, a program like that, and they're not hiring you from Ole Miss unless you go to Ole Miss and you're a consistent 10 win winner for a couple of years, right? And so if a guy comes to Ole Miss and turns it into a 10-11 win program – and leaves for Ohio State, the odds are overwhelming that he left the program in really good shape, and then you go get the next guy.
Oh, absolutely. And at that point, you're great. You're recruiting well. Just find the next guy that that bodes well for the future recruit.
Shake his hand, pat him on the back, and wish him well in Columbus, and go get the next dude.
Absolutely. Had we gone after someone right after, say Freeze went elsewhere after the Cotton Bowl, for instance, it would have been a great time to have someone come in. So yes, you're completely right. I agree with you. That's the longevity or someone wants to be here. I think it's kind of, like I said, it's kind of a cliche in a way that people, they all want to be here. This, and that's all, it's Oxford too. And it's people, coaches that come here have kids. Many of them are married, and most of them are married, and that's assistants too. And they have kids coming in the school system and everything else. So it's not just easy for them just to get attached for 4 or 5 years and then just move off. So it's not easy for them either. It's much harder than it would be for, say, an individual free agent player. Because you're a coach and you're picking up and leaving. It's hard to tell your assistants the same thing. Hey, we need to do what's best. We need to go to a better school, or whatever, that's deemed a better school or bigger school. So I don't read into too much of that.
Take a break in our talk with Todd Wade to tell you the podcast brought to you by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, DeSoto County, and Chattanooga. 30 years old this year, one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast, also a leader in condo financing in Oxford, and you get Memphis underwriters that understand your market. Get the float down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate, 662-234-2704, or JLOW, that's J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
Podcast also brought to you by Captain John Fryer and Tuna Chasa Charters in Biloxi, Mississippi. John handles inshore and offshore fishing expeditions from 4 to 12 hours. He knows where to put you on the fish that you want to catch. A popular trip for visitors is the inshore trips for speckled trout and triple tail, which is sometimes called blackfish. You can reach John through his website, tunachasacharters.com. That's T-U-N-A-C-H-A-S-A charters.com. His Facebook page, or you can call John, 228-348-7817. Podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer's an American Standard dealer, but they work on any make or model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Excuse me. Mention you heard about them on the podcast, and you get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane, 662-832-8749. The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. Grenada Nissan has a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals. If you're in the market for a Nissan, it's the place to go. Just drop by the dealership just off Interstate 55. Give them a call or look them up on their website. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And when you do, tell Gene and Sandy you heard about Grenada Nissan here on the podcast or at RebelGrove.com, and you'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan.
Now back to Todd Wade on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. Yeah, I almost read, want to be here is synonymous with still working as hard that whatever day that is the first day they showed up and believing Ole Miss can win to the level. Because, Hugh Freeze did a lot of good things, a lot of bad things. What you can't argue, though, is that he showed Ole Miss people they can win at the highest level. They're 4th and 25 from potentially the playoff. You got to have a situation where they're being efficient every single day as opposed to maybe, Houston Nutt's last 2 years where I don't think Houston ever thought Ole Miss could win the SEC. I thought he could win 8 or 9, he thought he could win 8 or 9 games and then just kind of be fat and happy and recruit enough to be okay there for a while.
Yeah, and you're right. And what's important to note is we backed into those bowl games, the Cotton Bowl. And I made the point at that meeting, 2008, maybe 2009, 2015, those were national championship talented teams. Make no bones about it. Those were national, the people that were playing the national championship games in those years, I would bet across the board they didn't have superior talent to us. I thought it was a poor job of coaching, and I think we lost to Memphis when we beat Alabama, things like that, and that happened under both staffs. So we've proven that you can get recruits to Oxford, and consistently you can get them there. And except you're right, Freeze proved that, but Orgeron proved that, and we underachieved and missed out. You know, both of those bowl games, take Texas Tech. They were a hell of a team when we played them back in that Cotton Bowl. And look at all the draft people who were drafted off of those teams, and then look at from the Sugar Bowl team. Same thing. So we know that. So we know that's very important. And then there's, you know, there is a lot of operational parity amongst some coaches, maybe in the SEC, but some of them it's not. There's certainly a discrepancy, but I do. At least half of it, you have to have the recruiter, and the whole staff has to be built around it, and let the rest take care of itself. But I'm also a big firm believer in the right type of offense and defense. I'm a little more conservative than that, and I wish that. But the focus isn't something that you can't change that overnight. It's a whole year, at least, to get that mindset going.
Couple weeks away from the sanctions being announced, likely. Whatever it is, it's fairly soon compared to how long that thing has been going on. The last time you and I spoke, you echoed a lot of fan sentiments that they were feeling at the time about the process, how Ole Miss was handling. And I guess since that point, since more responses have come out, and now as it's almost over, how has kind of your mindset changed? What have you kind of thought about the NCAA mess as it's played out the rest of the way?
You know, I think at this point, let's just kind of wait and see. I'm really hoping that it just sticks with, obviously, like everybody else, with what we penalized ourselves for. I've had questions of with compliance, but at this point, it doesn't matter. How much do we voluntarily turn in? Had we not done something, have we not been overly cooperative, what would the outcome have been? How could it have been different? Instead of opening up Pandora's box for the number of things that have taken place. But that's neither here nor there. It doesn't really matter at this point. I believe what Ross said was November 6th, not specifically, but generally 6 to 8 weeks is when they hear back. And I believe that would be at the end of 8 weeks. So we do know, as you mentioned, around that time, we'll know something. So it's at that point, maybe correct. You know, if that happened, you would like to know a little bit more, and so someone could be held accountable in certain things, if the process was done correctly or if it was not. Let that be known, but at this point, you just want to get through this. I think we're doing things the right way now. I think the meeting went really well. I thought Ross did a great job of conducting that, and it seemed genuine. So let's just see what we get.
Can I ask an off the wall question? I'm curious. You played offense your whole career, at least the parts of it that I know. What do you think about tempo as just a scheme?
Tempo?
Yeah, just the whole the people that it's like, let's go fast, 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 fast.
I'm all for tempo until a certain point when you can't when it's not being maybe taught or with the scheme's not allowing you to finish your blocks, for instance, as an offensive lineman, but you're more concerned about getting back to the line of scrimmage. That's a bad deal. You get so many tackles, so many extra hits on the running back. There's so many things that go wrong in that process when you aren't finishing your blocks. And I've seen that over the years, and it's I believe it's more scheme related than anything else. And I've never been a big fan of it. There's nothing wrong with having a fast tempo, but guys need to feel comfortable or trained to finish the play. And that goes for wide receivers, blocking DBs, to everybody across the board, finishing out on the play. Because, you know, when you don't do that, that is when it could be a backside receiver or backside defensive end. You don't finish your guy, and you're going back, and the whistle hasn't blown yet, and you're that's when balls are stripped and chaos ensues. So it's not my brand of football. Neither is blocking out of 2-point stance, run blocking. So it kind of defies the laws of physics. I've tried that with different NFL teams. I seem like an offensive line coach always, or a coordinator, has the idea to do that. And you try it once in practice, and every NFL team that ever happened, in college too, it's just like, let's forget this ever happened and just move on. Because you can pass block out of a 3-point stance, so you're really not fooling anybody, especially on first down when it's first and 10. You're just as effective pass blocking out of a 3-point stance as you are a 2-point stance, but you're not as effective run blocking out of 2-point stance as you are a 3-point stance. So there's a big difference there, and I wish I didn't have to ever see that.
I was just curious. I've never played offensive line a day in my life, but the more I watch.
Well, I can tell you this. I can go to your studio. I can get in a 2-point stance. I'm still big and strong guy. I can still, you know, run and stuff. So, you know, I'm not too beat up yet, but I can get in a 2-point stance, and you can get in a 3-point stance, and we're going to go head to head. For a split second, I'm going to have to gather myself to get under you and gain leverage before I can get you moving backwards. Yes, I would eventually put you back, but that is a critical moment in time that you have to get your hands in position and get and gain leverage so fast, because you're going from being high to low, and then getting movement, and that just really puts a disadvantage to the offensive lineman.
You know, I don't really want to break the studio like that, so what I think we should do is you and Chase should do that out in the yard, and I'll film it.
Well, Chase, I'm going to be in the Grove.
Okay.
I'll be there next couple of home games, and yeah. That'll be about it.
Well, that's what we'll do.
Hopefully they end better than they did, because Arkansas, and I apologize for anybody that saw me after that game, but it was a tough one.
We'll put you in a 2-point stance.
My wife is not happy with me. Go ahead.
We'll put you in a 2-point stance and Chase in a 3-point stance, and we'll let you you guys go full speed in the Grove, and I'll film it and provide commentary. It sounds like a great plan to me.
I feel like I only have a shot here if Todd has about 14 cocktails prior to this endeavor. So we'll see.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. It's all physics, you know, and that's what it comes down to, and it's a game of leverage, and that'll never change. Laws of the game will never change. Time of possession. You look at the national champions every year, or whoever's playing that championship game, both of them, they're time of possession teams. That doesn't mean boring or slowing it down somewhat, but they're focused on first downs. You know, the big plays will come. Points will come, but they're focused on first downs.
Are there some candidates that you want to see Ole Miss reach out to? Are there two or three people that you have in mind, or are you not focused on any one or two in particular people?
You know, I'd rather not name names, but I think the number of people out there. I wish Matt had a chance to kind of do his own thing offensively and change the whole mindset, but it's just not probably not likely. But no one in particular, really. I think some of the kind of think about some of the things that I've described and who I like. I mean, like I think Saban runs such a tight ship over there. I think that's something that should be emulated in any way possible. So, you know, you can always Pruitt or someone like that could be someone, but that has that type of influence. Because one thing about I think the attraction, what I've heard a lot of Ole Miss fans, they want a head coach being hired. I'm not so much that. I'm not against it. You know, there's not, certainly nothing wrong with bringing in someone who has head coaching experience. But there's also a lot of talented coordinators out there. When Tuberville was here, you know, he told Mazzoni, you know, keep his defense off the field and just get first downs. And that was his concern. Now we might have taken that. I hear fans talking about we didn't score as many points. So we might have taken that literally, but I think that there's something to that. And, you know, unless you plan on having just a great defense year in, year out, it's not sustainable if you can't control the ball and control the clock to some point. Because you can score, sounds great, scoring 25, 30 points in a game, but when those points were scored and what's happening to the defense in that time, it's spell disaster in the fourth quarter when your guys are done.
Last thing, kind of staying on topic sort of, but you mentioned still moving around pretty good. Like we're talking about this morning, Zach Miller, the Chicago Bears tight end, potentially losing his leg, struggling with some different things from a vascular standpoint. Did you kind of wake up someday, see those things, and go, man, you know, kind of glad you got out when you did to where you can still move around and be pretty active?
You know, it's funny. When I quit playing earlier, and I kind of almost quit answering calls. I had a couple opportunities when I decided to quit playing. And it was more mentally, I was just kind of done. And kind of became gotten that free agent route, which was kind of hopping around and kind of journeyman. And that wasn't I kind of missed the loyalty of it, my first team and things like that. But and just recently I started missing it a little bit. For the longest time I tried to, probably the first 4 or 5 years, tried not to even watch professional football just because I don't want to see friends of mine out there playing and then me start kicking myself. What am I doing sitting here in Oxford? So I didn't do that, but now I watch it. And I do kind of say, oh, I wish I would have played a couple more years. Probably could have done that. But you know what? Things could have happened in that time period. So as you mentioned, I did have a big knee surgery, which my knee feels great, but feels fine. I'm lucky. But luckily, for the most part, I didn't need have surgeries or anything like that when I was playing. I had a lot of some leg issues, but only one of them really required a major surgery. So, for the most part, I feel very lucky. It's just part of the game, and you know that going into it, that these things can happen. Yeah,
you played the position. Can you put into words what is possible for Joe Thomas to have a streak like he had where it's 10,000 consecutive snaps or whatever it is?
Yeah. I think being the better athletes usually are last a bit longer. And I think it has to do with just their, happens to do with their feet, staying up and not falling over. And a lot of it, so much of the injuries though, in the NFL is, or any level, this is friendly fire somewhat over your own, say, of Sam at right tackle, left guard is getting beat. And instead of him just getting beat, he holds on to the guy and slings them into the side of my knee. That happens more than anything. So that's what we had a Joe Bugle, offensive line coach with the Redskins, harped on staying square. At some point for the offensive tackles in a pass set, they do end up turning as the defensive end's passing them. But for the most part, you stay square. You keep your eyes open. You're able to avoid a lot of that stuff. But for someone like Joe Thomas, that's really, really impressive. Cause there are so many things, you know, he certainly played hurt. Playing hurt is, it happens every Saturday and Sunday, but to a certain point, there were times that I played hurt that I was having to take. I'm literally take the Vicodin and things like that at the same. It's really, really dumb. It's one of the biggest regrets of my career. I remember in Houston, I had just constant leg injuries or high ankle sprains, things like that. And you're doing whatever you can to mask that because you feel compelled to be out there and helping your team. But really, when it comes down to it, your backup would have done a better job than you having a leg injury and trying to play. And I'm kind of rambling on here, but
that's a common thing, though, in the NFL, isn't it? I mean, it's amazing that more guys don't battle, like, I guess, like some addiction issues from using some of the painkillers that they're using just to stay on the field.
Yeah. Well, they've obviously cut back on a lot of that. So it's, you could obviously always, it's always available, but not necessarily from your trainer. So if you had, you know, gosh, there's people have had injuries and have things in their medicine cabinet, it's just sitting there from 2 years prior. So does people have access to things if they really, really wanted it? And it's not a good thing at all. You know, your trainers, they do look out for you. I know that it seems like they get a lot of the blame, concussions and things like that. But as far as from what I remember, they were pretty on it. They weren't trying to just get you out there and rush you out there when you're hurt. They do have a responsibility. So a lot of that really becomes individual. I remember trying to hide things from trainers. And it becomes almost obsessive, and where you're letting your personal issues affects you and your team. So it's really, you know, there's ways to play hurt, and then there's ways not to. And, you know, I've done both, but, something it's you know, pride can be a killer.
Todd, you are more than gracious with your time. We appreciate it. And we'll talk to you again soon, hopefully.
You got it. Good to talk to you.
Thanks to Todd for joining us. Good stuff there from him. The podcast is brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com. They've got sildenafil. It's that $10 version of the $50 or $60 little blue pill. You can take it. You can separate it into half a pill, quarter a pill, or take the entire pill if you so choose. Same length of effectiveness as the other guys, and it gets you ready in as little as 15 minutes. 662-252-2321, TysonDrugs.com. They'll even deliver if you're not local.
I want to tell you real quick about a promo. If you listen to the Soft Verbal podcast presented by Billy's Pecans, you've heard us talk about Billy's Pecans. Know that there's a promo right now, from now until Wednesday at midnight. Use coupon code. I'm having trouble speaking today. Use coupon code Pecan Grove. One word: Pecan Grove, and you get free shipping on orders of $75 or more per address from Billy's Pecans. It's BillysPecans.com. BILLIES Pecans. .com. The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you're a business with a high ticket product or service, whether it's HVAC, dentistry, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application. With rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580, they will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben, 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for RebelGrove.com subscribers and also for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. It's a $500 savings, so call him today. The podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Chase referenced my 10 weekend thoughts earlier in the show. Those are up at rebelgrove.com. They are brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than Harry. Go to his site and he'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab, filter through by what you're looking for, and then send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com.
Let's do lines here in a minute. We'll finish up with that. Typical Monday for us. Let's see. lot of stuff from Todd. I kind of want to think about it for a few minutes. We'll dissect some of what he said on tomorrow's show as we go into the rest of the week. Let's see. Yeah, but you were going to say prevented by Billy's Pecans. That would not be a good sponsorship situation.
Yeah, we're not. It's not prevented. It's presented. I don't know what. It's been a weird week for me. I didn't feel well Friday at all.
You looked like hell at the game Saturday
morning. I couldn't stay awake. I was battling sleep. I even contemplated a nap at one point. Like, if I take a nap, will I just feel better? And I got done. I did our work. I wrote a column that I actually ended up thinking it was okay. We did instant analysis. I got home before 5, and I was in bed asleep by 7.
Were you really?
Yeah, I was so tired. I wanted to stay up. I was going to watch the Mississippi State game, and I was going to watch the Thunder and the Bulls. I was going to flip. And State started at 6:15. It was 7-0 State when I said, my eyes are too tired to watch this.
Did we figure out what kind of bird hit the Thunder plane?
I don't think they have.
Because some sort of dinosaur is the only thing
Did
that would make
that
size that? Of that dent. Now, you are moving at whatever mile per hour you are
moving.
Well,
they were 30,000 feet up flying because they had played in Minneapolis.
What bird flies 30,000 feet in the air?
Well, that's what I want to know. It's one hell of a bird.
Yeah, a hummingbird's not going 30,000 feet in the air.
Well, and if it did, it wouldn't make a dent like that.
You don't think so? Even moving at that rate of speed?
I would not.
No, you would never. It would be nothing. It would just be...
Yeah, it would just disintegrate, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was like a pterodactyl. Billy Donovan said that he felt the precipitous drop.
Well, that would freak you out.
Yeah. Nick Collison was like, he was watching Stranger Things on his computer on the way. You know, they're flying from Minneapolis to Chicago. It's NBA life. You played a game in Minneapolis.
Hour flight.
Yeah, you hop on a plane. You're going to land at Midway, hop on a charter bus,
drive
go to the
hotel
and crash for a little while. And next thing you know, I don't know.
All right, Auburn at Texas A&M this weekend. This is a little different situation after what A&M did on Saturday. This line opened at Auburn -12.5. It has now moved to 15. Auburn by 15 in College Station this weekend, Neil.
Oh. 15 points, Chase? But you know what? Auburn can probably do to A&M
most of what State did.
A lot of what State did, and what I've seen and read about what State did was really impressive, and that was just pure physicality, and I think Auburn can do that. It's probably and if you're A&M, that was a killer. Right? I mean, you've told yourself it's going to be okay, and now you know it's not.
Western Kentucky at Vanderbilt this weekend for a barn burner in Nashville, Tennessee. The Commodores are favored by 11 points against the Hilltoppers.
Sorry, did you say something?
Can you lay 11 for Vandy against anyone?
You know what? They actually played
well against Carolina.
Because I watched some of the end of that when I got back. I didn't feel good. I wasn't paying much attention. But they didn't quit. They played hard.
Weird year for Muschamp. He's done a good job, but they're not good.
They still get to play Florida.
Yeah.
Will's done it. Will's learned a lot.
He's done a good job.
Will's learned a lot. It's why if you're Ole Miss, if you're Ross Bjork, Ross doesn't need my advice, and this isn't advice to Ross. If it's me doing this, I'm not hiring anybody who's never head coached before. I got to have a head coach. I got to have somebody who has effed up and learned from it. Will learned so much from the failures at Florida. It's made him a better coach. He is not, from what I'm told from people over there, he has not overmanaged this team.
I would watch every second of Vanderbilt Western Kentucky if you would make me not have to pick this next game. It would be the ultimate throw in the trash game for the week because I don't know. Florida on the road at Missouri this weekend.
Well, could I give you some bad news?
Yeah.
I'm going to make you pick it.
Okay. It opened at Florida -1. It has since moved to Missouri -3.5.
I love Missouri in this game.
Can Locke throw on them? All jokes aside, can he throw on them?
Yeah, is Florida going to show?
Can they score, even against Missouri?
Yeah, I don't think they show up.
You think it's just a...
I think it's here. Here, Missouri, here's a win. Please don't roll up a damn knee, okay, bud?
Yeah. This line's off the board on a lot of sites, and I don't know why, but I did get an opening here of Mississippi State minus 28 at home against Massachusetts this weekend. Okay.
Yeah, UMass is not good enough. I mean, State's going to be in – who does State have next week? Alabama?
Is it Bama?
Probably.
Might be, yeah.
Because Bama, then Arkansas, then Ole Miss. So, yeah, Bama. State's going to be in sandwich mode. I mean, they're not going to be focused. But they're so good running the football. It's kind of where Todd Wade's right. He's totally right. I agree. I'll be honest. My question to Todd – and had he answered it differently, I would have let it go because he knows what he's talking about, and I don't. I hate tempo. I think it's stupid. I think it doesn't work. I think it's a gimmick. And you know, you and I have been together a long time. I don't like gimmicks. I don't think gimmicks work.
I think it the only time that it has a chance of working is when it also complements your defense. That's what Todd said, too. Your defense isn't good enough to run tempo.
I think you can have it in your arsenal.
But it to be the one trick.
Where you break it out. Hey, boom, we're going fast this drive.
Yeah. Some of the defense is going, what the hell?
But and you've prepared your defense by going, hey, fourth possession, we're going to go fast. So kind of be ready to go back out.
Yeah. South Carolina, speaking of, on the road at Georgia, mathematically, the SEC East still in play here for the Gamecocks.
Mathematically, I have a chance to play for the Giants next year. They need a right fielder, but
not good chances. Georgia by 25.
It's a lot of points.
It opened at 21. It's since moved to 25.
It's a lot of points, but, you know, Kirby is smart, pardon the pun. He knows what he's doing. He knows there's a decent chance that they lose to Alabama in December, and he needs to be blowing people out.
So he's going to blow them out.
Well, they're good enough to blow anybody out. They might be good enough. I'm going to tell you, you want a crazy scenario for that game? That's the game that Alabama goes, we got to have more passing. Tua leads them to a win in the SEC title game and takes care of the quarterback controversy in December.
Yeah. Intriguing game out west.
Because I'll say this, Chase, I don't think one dimension beats Georgia.
Chris Peterson's got a nod somewhere here because it's a 2:30 start. For a Pac-12 game, Stanford against Washington State this weekend in Pullman.
Stanford will kill them.
Think so?
Yeah.
Coming off their sleepwalking against Oregon State last week?
Just kind of my feeling.
If Bryce Love is healthy, obviously.
Yeah. But
your game of the week in the Big Ten is Northwestern at Nebraska this weekend. Northwestern
minus
one.
Did you see my boys?
They win?
Triple overtime over Michigan State. It was like one of the games of the week.
I didn't know.
See, man. Ryan Field was lit. Ryan Field was lit.
All 36,000 of them were pumped up.
They all of them were on the field when it was over.
Devastating loss for James Franklin, by the way, on Saturday against Ohio State.
They were chanting, "We want Bama" at one point.
Yeah. Win the game first, guys.
Well, you know, literally – I woke up the next day and saw the score, and I was like, wait, what?
Penn State was up two scores with 4 minutes to go?
Yeah, I literally woke up and went, that can't be right. And I asked Siri for confirmation.
Yeah.
See, I'll ask Siri again just to make sure. Hey, Siri, who won the Penn State game? There you go.
It's correct.
God, she's so smart.
Is she having cucumber sandwiches, or are we doing tea and crumpets?
Tea and crumpets. I love Siri so much.
Clemson on the road at NC State this weekend. Clemson a 7-point favorite on the road against the Wolfpack.
Kind of a weird spot for them.
A little weird spot. Ohio State goes to Iowa this weekend. Ohio State minus 16.5 against the Hawkeyes this weekend.
Well, I like the Hawkeyes, so let's just be cool.
Ole Miss in Kentucky, the line's gone down a little bit, opened at 4.5 in favor of the Wildcats. It's now at 3.5 between Ole Miss and Kentucky on Saturday.
Had Ole Miss held on and beaten Arkansas, I'd probably roll with the Rebels. I'll give Matt Luke a lot of things. I hope over the course of this football season, people have picked up that I don't blame Matt Luke for any of this. I don't think Matt Luke's the answer. I don't think he's the solution. I don't think that's his fault either. I would be for complete change. Wipe the slate, move forward. His teams have played hard all season. Now, this will be the biggest challenge on getting them to play hard. But I bet they do, and they have a chance. Kentucky has just, much like South Carolina, when they've had to get a win, they have found a way to get a win.
I guess it was the broadcast crew on Saturday. Did you hear that Florida has thrown 5 touchdown passes this season? 2 were in the Kentucky game where the wide receivers were not covered. 1 was on some sort of end around something, and 1 was on something else. They have thrown 1 touchdown pass this season from a traditional set.
And that's Jim McElwain, who's an offensive guy.
1 touchdown pass.
Football's weird.
Arkansas goes home to play Coastal Carolina this weekend. They are favored by 24.5 against the Chanticleers. A mythical rooster, by the way. or I guess it might exist in like Chaucer, right? We've been over this. Isn't that right?
Chaucer.
Isn't that right? There's a Chanticleer in Chaucer.
I think that's right.
Okay.
You still have your cough.
Well, it's a cold now.
We're going to have an interim podcast host.
I did have a chronic cough. Now I just have, I don't know. Anyway, Bedlam is this weekend, Oklahoma at Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State favored by 3 against the Sooners on a Saturday night in Stillwater. Neil likes Mike Gundy, and he likes Baker Mayfield, so he's torn this weekend.
You know, that's one of the games that I want to see. I want to go to Bedlam.
Do you?
I do. Is there a game that you've never been to that you'd like to go to? A college football rivalry that you'd like to see that you've never been to?
Army-Navy.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Michigan-Ohio State.
Okay.
I kind of hate both programs, but it's just so big and whatever that I sort of want to see it.
Who do you think you'd end up cheering for at Michigan-Ohio State?
Oh, God.
Because human nature is you pick
any
a team.
Any game you watch, you pick a person you kind of like to
you
see
end up
more.
Sort of
yeah,
cheering
if
for
you're
one
on
team.
TV if you're watching something on television, you're going to pick a team you'd rather win at the end of the game.
Right. You might not be passionately involved in it, and it might not, you literally could get over the loss in less than 1 second, but during that process in the NBA, I'll catch myself watching a game and I'm like, hey, I'm kind of cheering for Portland here.
Ohio State. Harbaugh rubs me the wrong way.
I was going to ask you if it were
it's
someone
a Harbaugh
if
thing.
It weren't Harbaugh, you'd cheer for Michigan.
Absolutely. Yeah. But somehow I like Urban more than Harbaugh because Urban at least is himself.
Okay, so Army-Navy, Michigan-Ohio State. I've always wanted to go to UCLA-USC, and I have no idea why.
Nah, I'm good. I'm good.
I just think it would be interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why.
No, that's not one of them.
Okay.
Bedlam
interest you at all? Oklahoma, Oklahoma State?
Yeah, but not like you. You've got that Oklahoma thing a little bit where you're whatever
yeah.
on that.
Yeah, I've been there some.
I mean, you've done a ton of them. When they're both really good, I want to see I've never seen an Iron Bowl in person.
It's a really good game. It's not as hated. There's not as much hate and stuff as people anticipate there. It's a funny atmosphere.
Yeah.
I've done Florida-Georgia, which I think is kind of overrated.
Dylan gets to see Scott Frost in person this weekend. UCF is at SMU. So, SMU 13-point underdogs to the Golden Knights this weekend in Highland Park.
Scott Frost is the head coach at blank January 2nd. Scott Frost is the head coach at blank.
Florida.
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 Dan Mullen is the head coach at blank. January 2nd.
Tennessee.
Chase Parham. Goodness gracious. gracious.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it? Texas at TCU. TCU coming off the loss to Matt Campbell's boys in Ames this weekend. So TCU gets Texas. Let's see. You mentioned Minnesota plays Michigan. Who cares? Southern Miss at Tennessee this weekend. Tennessee by 6.5.
This thing's falling apart.
Yeah.
See, I've got CNN on. If you're watching on
liberal,
ESPN
19. Liberal.
I know.
Liberal.
If you're watching ESPN 19, I know, but Fox News is going to ignore it. And MSNBC is going to act like this is the end of the Constitution. So I'm trying to pick something in between, frankly. And while I know CNN leans to the left, it's
not MSNBC.
They're not going to tell me that. Yeah, it's just.
The government is shutting down in 2 hours today. Yeah.
So what's breaking is that Trump's ex-foreign policy advisor has pled guilty, admits to lying to FBI and Russia probe. But I'm just going, wow, it's been a busy day.
George Papadopoulos.
Look at you. I think that's right. What was the line? I'm sorry.
Tennessee by 6.5 against Southern Miss.
I don't know, man. Give me Southern Miss and the points is my initial thought.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, too. Even though Southern Miss laid an egg against UAB over the weekend.
You know what? Bill Clark at UAB is one hell of a football coach.
He is a heck of a football coach. And then the most overrated game of the SEC season, LSU Alabama this weekend. The Crimson Tide, Nick Saban, Ed Orgeron doing battle.
Oh, God.
Alabama by 21 against LSU.
See, I'm so glad you said it so that I can't be accused of just being a pure hater. This gets old. There was a time, ESPN, when this was apropos. There was a time when it was awesome. It was the best game in college football. It's not anymore. Don't do the hype all week. Please don't send Marty Smith or some cat to Baton Rouge for 3 days. Excuse me. I don't want to hear about it. It's a football game. Alabama's going to win the game by somewhere around the line. It's going to be boring.
LSU is not going to move the football.
No, it's going to be methodical. It's going to take 3.5 hours, and you're going to know the outcome from a football standpoint somewhere early in the second quarter. Please don't hype this. If you want to hype Alabama, Georgia for a week in December, great. Go for it. At least there's interest. But let's skip this.
At least game day's not going. They're going to Bedlam this weekend.
Oh, thank God. Okay, so literally on Neil's picks, I might just pick the game. I might just have no words, just pick. Just my protest. Because, by God, my protests matter. The playoff thingy comes out this week, is that right?
Yeah.
So it's Alabama, Georgia, and who?
Neil handling phone calls and telemarketers here at the moment. Good.
Yep. Okay. Notre Dame. One loss Notre Dame, and the one loss very close at home, excuse me, to Georgia.
I would do Alabama 1.
Sure.
Georgia 2.
Yes.
Notre Dame 3. Notre Dame 3.
Okay.
And I would do Clemson 4.
Clemson was the one loss to Syracuse. Boy, it's a bad loss.
It's a terrible loss. Frankly, Ohio State probably makes more sense there.
They've got the one loss to who?
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. And Oklahoma has the one loss to
somebody bad, too. I don't remember.
Who did Oklahoma lose to?
My thing with Notre Dame is, look, they're in the playoff if they don't lose again.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're in the playoff they lose again.
No, I don't think so either.
Although, they're closing here. Wake, Miami, Navy, Stanford. Good God.
Miami has not lost yet.
Yeah, they did, didn't they?
I thought they were undefeated. I don't know.
I don't think
Maybe
so.
They lost once. Yeah. I struggle to keep up.
No, they're undefeated, 7-0. Sorry. Number 9 in the country, 7-0.
Why are they number 9 when they're 7-0? Because they haven't played anybody?
Yeah, you watch them play, and they look terrible. from an eye test standpoint, they're abysmal.
The president has tweeted.
And they're going undefeated if they beat Notre Dame. No, no, I'm sorry. They got Virginia Tech this weekend. They're losing this weekend.
Justin Fuente is the coach at blank January 2nd.
Virginia Tech.
Okay.
I make all of my Hokie fans happy when I'm talking right now. So,
blank is the coach at Nebraska in 2018.
Matt Campbell.
Did you see the end of that game?
I did.
They're fun.
He has them playing very hard, yes.
They're fun.
He was a good coach at Toledo, and he's a good coach at Iowa State.
So he's a good coach?
He's a good coach. Yeah. I think he's a Big Ten, Midwest kind of coach, though. It's kind of where I see him fitting. So.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know that I necessarily agree or disagree with that. You can sometimes watch a team – I'm a romantic giveaway. Sometimes you wonder what would happen if a Matt Campbell stayed at an Iowa State, made it home. Not going to happen, but sometimes you wonder.
Would it happen? I mean,
would it get stale?
Frank Beamer, Virginia Tech. Gary Patterson, TCU.
So, no. Probably wouldn't get stale. It was just kind of cool for – You talk about cheering. I have no tie at all to Iowa State.
Change two or three things, and Hugh Freeze could have been at Ole Miss 15 years.
Yeah.
I mean,
he got in his own way.
Yeah.
Turned down Florida a
few years ago. I mean, there was a path to him staying a while.
It's the one thing you kind of wonder, how it's all different if Hugh Freeze takes the Florida job.
We might... My guess, for really no reason, is that the head coach at Ole Miss would have been Jim McElwain or Lane Kiffin.
It's my opinion, and I'm sure Ross Bjork and others would say that we're way wrong. And I'm not fighting. It's my opinion, and this was informed, and it was informed by multiple people, so it wasn't one person telling me this. Is that if had Hugh Freeze gone to Florida, Jim McElwain was getting the Ole Miss job. And Lane Kiffin was going to Colorado State.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd heard that from multiple people. I'm sure people would say we didn't get that far down the road, and I'm not going to argue. Hey, could be right. I do know that someone who was at Ole Miss at the time said, I think it was that Thursday or Friday before the Saturday game, you know, we've done all we can do. It'll be okay. And there was almost a relief.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? It's okay. We're going to be all right. Hint, hint.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
All right, tomorrow on the show, we'll talk about some of what Todd said, and we will go from there. We'll have a guest or a guest as well, working on a couple things. So, we'll do that. RebelGrove.com, Matt Luke speaking today, Phil Longo, Wes McGriff, normal Monday stuff. We'll have that to you. And make sure you check out all of our content from Saturday, as well as Neil's 10 Thoughts that went up last night.
The podcast has been brought to you by Vitamend, 3010 Old Taylor Road. It's not open today, but it's open Tuesday through Sunday, 638-3600, 662-638-3600. Get in touch with Matt Payne and the people there at Vitamend starting tomorrow, 3010 Old Taylor Road in Oxford. And also, did you know that State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Recently, State Farm had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. Give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies. If you own a rental property, Romero challenges you to give him a shot at your property. If you do, you won't be sorry. If you need another reason to give them a call, go to Google, read Romero Miller State Farm reviews. Romero Miller State Farm, 662-893-1212.
Be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Talk to you then.